how he seems to be just drawing us into a sweeter space with him all the time, eh? And it's amazing to see how lives have been changed and touched and drawn, and hardness has been melted and hearts becoming hearts of flesh. So anyway, we're going to go into the time of the word. Ryan's going to share, so I just want to just reach out our hands. We're going to pray for him and just trust that God's going to anoint him and speak through him in freedom. So Lord, yeah, just thank you for Ryan. Thank you for a brother. Thank you for a man of God, a man who hungers and thirsts after a righteous God, Lord. I pray, Lord, that his words would be your words tonight, Lord, that there would come a sweetness and even a cutting, Lord, through the word, Lord, that would bring us into a greater revelation of who you are in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen, amen.
Amen. For the reveal. It's not a moth. I do believe this is what you get with optometrists nowadays. Hey, Hendrik. I've got a tame optometrist in the house, and I just... No, I'm joking. I'll be good. Yeah. Lord, just pray for these eyes at the moment. Although the tent, you won't make a 1 or 2 or even a 25-year-old tent. But these eyes, I pray that you do bring a restoration to them. Amen.
Why not? Why not? I do have those moments where my eyes do get very clear all of a sudden. And I can read what's in front of me. So, welcome tonight. For those of you who didn't get my name's Ryan. Big Daddy. I'm trying to lose the big part of the daddy. For those who weren't here at leaders' time we had, I got the nickname Big Daddy. They think it's quite funny. They haven't gone into the sea with me yet and haven't faced a good drowning. But we're having a weekend away in 2 weekends' time and still by, and the ocean is vast. Let's get back on point here to a good dad joke. Tell me, if you see a crime at an Apple store, does that make you an eyewitness? So I see a lot of new faces here tonight. I think the visitor count is 4. 3. 3. 3 forms. But I see a lot of new faces as well. So welcome. Welcome tonight. We have been speaking of an eyewitness account, and that is of Simon Peter last week. I went on a little bit. One Simon, now Peter. He got a new name. If you're familiar with the man, I did ask the congregation to picture themselves by the lake at the first meeting that Simon Peter had with Jesus. To picture yourself with Jesus, and what is he calling you to become? Sorry, I'm just giving the new guys a little bit of background here. And I asked them, might your life-changing journey start today? That was last Sunday. It's been a week already. Any testimonies? Pray for my eyes. Okay, the word's still got some work to do. I asked people to drop what they were doing and to trust him. And I asked for people all in, put your hands up and to accept Jesus into your life truly. So tonight I wanted to speak about what I said was going to be session two or part two. It's also around Peter. I want to start at the third encounter. Just read a bit of scripture just to get us back on the page. The third encounter he had with Jesus, Matthew 16, 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was with Christ. And then we went on near the end about what was your beach moment with Christ. What had he done in your life up until now? How had you grown in your faith and your journey? And that there was so much more, that there was more growth, more relationship to be had. And then we asked, what were you asked to leave behind? Simon, once Simon, now Peter, had to leave his fishing behind, had to leave his boat, and was called to follow Jesus. So tonight we're going to leapfrog a little bit forward because we don't have time to go through all the scripture I had planned. But it's an amazing journey that I've been on with Simon Peter, and I want to encourage you to go read the accounts for yourself. I want to encourage you that through tonight's accounts, that this word, when you read it during the week, becomes more alive because of what we discuss here tonight. So I want to just put up a note for people to take a note. I want you to read Matthew 16 during the week through to chapter 26. So that's chapter 16 to chapter 26, 10 chapters. And then if you can read Mark 14, the whole of Mark 14 as well. And then John 20 and 21. So I'll post that on the community groups, but I really like for you to go and read those. You will read after Jesus proclaims that he will be killed and then rise on the third day about Peter rebuking him. This is all in Matthew 16. You will read Peter along with James and John witness the transfiguration of Jesus and the appearance of Moses and Elijah on the mountain. Still Matthew 17. You will read Jesus makes a prediction that Peter will deny him three times before a rooster crows. That's Matthew 26. You will read Peter tells Jesus that he will never deny him. You will read Peter and the others were sleeping while Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. After the Last Supper, Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to await his arrest. Those of you who don't know. He told them to stay awake and pray while he went off to pray alone. And when he returned to them, he found them sleeping. He warned Peter to stay awake and pray because although his spirit might be willing, the flesh was weak. But he fell asleep again, and by the time the soldiers had come in, they came to arrest Jesus, it was too late. Too late to pray for the strength to endure what was about to come. I've got a little side note here. Don't leave things too late. Do you find yourself praying after something has happened? Lord, help me. Or do you pray continuously so that when the trial comes, you will stand tall? You'll read in Matthew 26 when Jesus is arrested by the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. Peter takes his sword out and cuts off the ear of the servant. You'll read the prediction of Jesus comes true when Peter denies him three times. Peter's denial was based partially on weakness, the weakness born of human frailty, something we might well find ourselves doing in the same circumstances. This is now Mark you will be reading. A second reason for Peter's failure was perhaps fear. And to his credit, although all the others had fled, Peter still followed Jesus after his arrest. But he kept his distance so as not to be identified with him. It's no question to me that fear had gripped him. From the courtyard, he watched Jesus being falsely accused, beaten, and insulted. Peter was afraid Jesus would die, and he was fearful for his own life as well. And after this, Jesus faces his jury and goes to the cross and is crucified. In John, that I want you to read, Peter and the other apostles receive word from Mary Magdalene that the body of Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Amen. You will read Peter rushes to Jesus' tomb to confirm the news. You will read Jesus appears to Peter before appearing to the other apostles. And you will read Jesus appears in front of the 11 apostles. You will read Jesus gives Peter and the other apostles the gift of the Holy Spirit. So some good homework reading for you guys. But tonight, I had to rush ahead, but it's good for you guys to have homework. It's good for you guys to uncover the word yourself and feel the journey where I've come to. And tonight we're going to pick up in John 21. So while Peter and six others were fishing at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus appears and asks them if they have any fish. Sound familiar? Last week we spoke about that was the first encounter Jesus had. Feels a bit of, deja vu. Have we perhaps come full circle? So we're going to read from verse 21, or chapter 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happens this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Oh, another night. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they replied. They obviously couldn't see him. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off. Please note the detail here. He wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." To the one that rejected Jesus the first time, he is restoring trust. Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." To the one that rejected Jesus the second time, he is restoring trust. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." To the one that rejected Jesus the third time, Jesus is restoring trust. Three times earlier, Simon Peter betrayed Jesus. Now Jesus perfectly demonstrates forgiveness. As painful as the questions, they are meant to restore Peter. Chapter 18. "Now tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Just a note. Who of you know how Simon Peter died? Crucified upside down. "You will stretch out your hands." And this is how you will glorify God. I had a prophetic moment with this particular verse, and I want you to just consider overlaying it over your life. When you see Jesus, to put on your clothes. Stop sitting, stop sinning, do not come ashamed. Jump into the water. Step out of the boat. Have faith and eat with your Lord and Savior. He has prepared a feast. Jesus' first call to Peter was to become a fisher of men. Now he comes and calls him to be a shepherd. Jesus effectively calls Peter to take the lead of all the disciples. In verse 16, Jesus responds again with the request to take care of my sheep. We read Peter making a confession of his love towards the risen Jesus three times after meeting him on the shores of Galilee. I am finding that we as a people, myself included, are too quick to forget, specifically when Jesus isn't in our lives. Here we read, even the disciples forgot until Jesus returned and they saw him in their lives again. So why are we so quick to pick up or fall back into sin? So quick to pick a response, unlike one Jesus would use. So quick to respond, reacting unlike Jesus would. My references today need to serve us as a reminder to what Jesus says to Peter. Do you love me? When have you been far from God? And how did he restore relationship within you? What if Jesus says to you today, do you love me? Most important question that you could be asked today. Simon Peter, the one who declared his love, rushed forward, cut off the ear in the protection of Jesus. Simon Peter, the one that ended up denying Jesus 3 times, forsaking him in those final moments in his weakness. We see the tragedy of Peter's denial and not witnessing Jesus' crucifixion in the end, or his death. Must have been an absolute turmoil in Simon Peter's heart. And despite this, despite knowing this is the good news. We still see Jesus choose Simon Peter as his first. I'll go back to the cheesy way of saying it, but I love it. One Simon, now Peter, took the great challenges that were set before him and his mistakes he made. And despite these things, one Simon, now Peter, continued to love Jesus without hesitation. One Simon, now Peter, did not take on his own shoulders the term defeat. One Simon, now Peter, used these adversities to change from an arrogant Simon to a humble Peter. This amazing time we read of Simon, now Peter, doesn't end here though. These are just accounts from his brothers. We have 2 books that he wrote after all these events. When we started the series on love, I read a passage, not realizing we'd come back there. It's quite apt. We see Jesus coming back to the beach and me coming back to this particular verse. 2 Peter 1:3-9. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now this is Simon Peter talking. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. We read in an increasing measure. Even for one Simon, now Peter, he knew that sanctification was always a walking out type of lesson. A transformation. It's not just to receive and try hold on with everything you got. It's a walking out. Despite failures, despite roadblocks and setbacks, his action was to receive and then step out of the boat. Never step out of a boat like that, by the way. His call to God was, teach me, change me, transform me. Can we read that again? 2 Peter 1, 3-9. His divine power is giving us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Add to it. So now you've had faith, you put up your hand, Jesus, yes. Add to it now goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the warning. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. You see, God doesn't want the story to end with you just knowing what the facts are. This isn't an exercise in appealing to your intellect or your emotions, but it's an exercise in also appealing to your will. There is a final call, a choice you have to make. Step out of the boat and change your life in ever-increasing measure. Now the call for your response. The action of stepping out of the boat. We had a bit of a conversation this afternoon around the true gospel and what it means. And ordinarily this is the part where we call those who have not yet received Jesus into their life to raise their hand, to step forward. I want us all to reflect on the message I'm about to read, the true gospel. I've never heard it preached in its fullness, in its length and breadth, so clearly as I did a study a couple of weeks ago, as what I had seen. And there's real power in it. Once Simon, now Peter, walked with Jesus, he saw it. And we get to read his account and almost walk in his shoes. And what I want to happen now is when we go through the true gospel, I want the power of it to come on our lives. Not just in part. I don't want us to be nearsighted or blind. I want us to receive it fully. And then, when we finished, I want you to go to your community leader, and if there's something that really has turned in your heart, I want you to share it with them. And then next week, when we call for testimonies, let there be testimonies. Amen? All right, so bear with me here. It may help to close your eyes. No one gets saved automatically. I'm going to appeal to you. I'm going to appeal to your intellect. I'll give you the facts. I'm going to appeal to your emotions. This is an invitation, a submission on your part. And then I'm going to appeal to your will. You need to hear and respond willingly in repentance and in faith. Number one, the facts concerning salvation. All people have sinned. Romans 3:23, we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The facts concerning salvation. The penalty of sin is death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ and Jesus our Lord. The facts concerning salvation. Jesus Christ died to pay for these sins. Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then comes the invitation to a personal response in repentance and faith. Come to me and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Regarding repentance, Acts 20:21. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Forsake sinful life, come to Christ in faith, and trust for forgiveness. And then lastly, the promise of forgiveness and eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then Acts 3:18. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Receive Jesus and rest our hearts in him for salvation. If this is an action you are choosing, please stand with me. And for those who want to just call out, raise your hands and ask. Lord, teach me. Lord, transform me. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your grace and peace. As I work out in myself to know the fullness of your Son, Jesus. I do not want to be nearsighted or blind, but I desire to have a life of excellence. I desire to live a life that is fruitful, effective, and productive, not wasting away even a day that you have blessed me with. I will endeavor to learn and obtain the knowledge you have provided within your word. So I will engrave on my heart your great and precious promises. I will make every effort to add to my faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, affection, man, and love. I will put on my shoulder the plow you asked me to put on and commit to live out these commands daily. Father, I want to take small steps forward every day until I can look back and see the leaps and bounds I've made before in becoming more like your son, Jesus, and less like everyone else. Father, I pray that you would help me every day. And when I fail, Father, you will provide me with the strength to keep pressing forward and living a righteous life. Loving people at every turn. I pray that as I make every effort to nurture the Holy Spirit within me, you would use me to pour love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness into the folk you have placed around me. For those of you who don't know, those are fruits of the Spirit. Father, when people see me, it's a tough one. Father, when people see me, I pray that they see you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Let's get working on those testimonies. God is good. Amen. Go well, stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Yes, we will. No glasses.